do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
My eyes don't look like that. Try to calm down, Holly Beth. I got my eyes. Where are my eyes?
I'm coming for you, Rachel. And this time, I'll get you.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to this special cross-dimensional episode of the Beers and Ears and Glittering Gore podcast. Here are your hosts, your ghost hosts, Casey Woolley, Kaylee Jensen, and Matthew Brown.
So spooky. I love it. This is my favorite crossovers to do with you guys, because obviously this is the third time we are talking Haunted Mansion adjacent things.
Yes, absolutely. How's it going, Kaylee?
Good
to see you. Hey, Matt.
Yes, thank you for joining us, Kaylee. We're so excited to be back. I love that there's all this Haunted Mansion adjacent talk that we can have.
Do you remember?
No, it's great.
We were all Disney Store cast members, right? You were Disney Store cast member too, Kaylee?
I did college program.
Okay. So Disney cast members. But Matt, do you remember the first year we got the Haunted Mansion merchandise and how excited we were that it came in? And it just feels like ever since then, it's just been, they've really leaned into the Haunted Mansion over the last several years, like more than ever before.
It makes sense. It's one of the few rides that I think people have a real emotional connection to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure working down at the parks, Kaylee, you've seen this where it
just
people have a more special connection with that ride than it seems like any other one.
Yeah. It combines the love of Disney, obviously, the love of Imagineering with the love of the Gothic, which is kind of its own little hobby. I mean, Kaylee, that's what your podcast is about, right?
That's like my sweet spot. I said, like, Haunted Mansion combines like my like two loves together, you know, like definitely a Disney kid, but also like I love the spooky side. And that's, I know I've shared this before, but it's just, it's in my brain. My brother's first time riding Haunted Mansion, he was 5. Parents were like, no, it's not scary. And then he stomped off the ride and was like, you lied. He was 5, but it's just like, that's, you know, it's one of those things where
it starts off scarier and then kind of gets more fun as you go through. That's what's interesting about it. You need a little bit of everything with it, right? You know, I think for me, what has really proven just the amount of fandom, I mean, just even look at the recent like controversy and all the opinions around the placement of the Hatbox Ghost and what will be the Walt Disney version of the Haunted Mansion. We talked about that a few episodes ago on our podcast, Kaylee. I'm curious to know your take on it. How are you feeling about where they're going to put the Hatbox Ghost inside the Haunted Mansion?
I mean, I think I'm just glad that there's a conversation about it. I think, you know, I don't particularly feel one way or the other.
Okay.
I'm just glad that there's a conversation about it, because I feel like for a while it was just kind of nothing. It was just, there was nothing going on there.
They announced it. And then like, what it literally was like an apparition. Like, where is this thing? You know?
Well, and that's, I mean, the hat box. I mean, I've got my Haunted Mansion sweatshirt. I mean, that's who's on the merch. And this is probably like 8 years old at this point. Like, it is the classic iconic character that they think of for Haunted Mansion.
Now, I'm curious though, they think about that, but I would say that's more of a Disneyland thought, right? Than it is, at least up until now,
right?
Up until even this movie. I think this movie kind of served as a way to introduce the general, or at least they wanted it to serve as the introduction to the general layperson who the Hatbox Ghost was, because in a lot of ways, those who have only ever visited Walt Disney World, and I was this person until I learned about him, that like no one really knew who he was until they put him back into Disneyland a few years ago. There was like this myth about him, but Walt Disney World visitors even were further removed than Disneyland people, you know?
Well, yeah. So again, the hitchhiking ghosts are what everybody thinks is specific, but I think when you want that actual spooky, again, kind of how this movie shows it, the Hatbox is like the scary one. He definitely comes off more menacing than the other three that are just trying to hitch a ride.
You know, it's goofy. So it's one of the things that I like about this franchise is that it is this like spooky goofy, which is really hard to meld. It's
I can just hear Goofy doing
spooky
the ghost.
Goofy.
Yeah, spooky Goofy doing the ghost host voice. Yo, yo. That's just like, welcome. I can't even do it. I'm trying. I can't even do it. Like Bill Farmer doing the ghost host voice. Like I would pay to hear that, you know?
Give me that overlay.
Oh, spooky Goofy.
But it is this, you know, it's easy to get the Pirates of the Caribbean adventure and Goofy. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get like other genres to be like more silly. And I think this is one of, you know, horror, spookiness, all that other stuff. It's harder to get the silly because there you don't want it to be silly to a point where it's not scary, but you also don't want it to be so scary that this is a horror ride and you have, you know, like your extraterrestrial encounter where everyone goes and comes out and is is terrified of what just happened to them.
Well, and that was, I think that was the Imagineers challenge even as they were putting this thing together. And I honestly can't remember all of what we talked about in the original episode, but I would imagine mm-hmm. there was a little bit of history there about, I mean, the idea sat around for years and that building in Disneyland sat vacant for years because they couldn't figure out how they wanted to bring a haunted place into a magical, happy family place, right? I mean, the mm-hmm. museum, I think it was Museum of the Weird was one of the originals.
Yeah.
The walkthrough, they were going to make it like a Museum of the Macabre was, I think, an idea. And then they decided at one point they wanted to make it fun and then they wanted to make it scary and then they combined both. And I think one of the reasons why the Haunted Mansion has lived and has stayed so popular and will never be replaced, unlike some of other classics, I really would imagine this would never go away, is that it is literally the epitome of what Disney Imagineering is capable of when you have an idea and then you build on that idea and then you build on that idea and you build on the idea and you get up here. Because that right there is the epitome of what Imagineering has been able to do, because it wasn't any one person's thought of how it should be. It was a combination, you know?
Yeah. I just saw all of the announcements with all the new, how they're going to do change certain rides, you know, it's tough to be a bug. That one really made me really sad when I saw that they're changing that. I mean, like, I understand the call for it, but it's at the same time, I'm like, but like these, like, I mean, I was really upset when they changed Tower of Terror in California.
But we, you know, at least still have the one in Walt Disney World still.
Fingers crossed they keep it.
I think they will. I think that's one of those things where, well, I think they will, but I can, you know, things change. I mean, who would have thought Splash Mountain would be going to where it's at now? And I'm happy for Bayou Adventure. You know, this is actually, we're going to talk about this. I don't know if you listened to our episode that we had last week yet or not, Kaylee, but
I missed this past one. I can own that. I'm usually really good. I'm still catching up on everything.
This isn't
from
an
last
interrogation.
Week.
You don't have
No. The reason why I wanted to ask.
I usually do. I'm just,
we talked about all those D23 announcements, but the feature of the episode last week was Mickey Mouse's new version, his animated, like what he's become, the way they're animating him, and you know why they've done that, all those different things. And we actually put a poll out into the field, which I think mm-hmm. it kind of hits a little bit on what we're talking about, is like, when is it okay to take the classic and reinvent it into something new? When is it okay to take the old and put a new spin on it? And Mickey's as classic as they get. And we put a poll out on the field. We had 38 people respond in our Facebook group, and 65% say they absolutely hate the new Mickey Mouse. And then 35% say that he's okay, that they like the new Mickey Mouse. So it's about a 2-to-1 margin, as close as you can get in terms of 2-to-1. Matt, you said you thought that was closer than you thought.
I thought it was going to be like 1 in 5, but kind of where this comes out of is that the Mickey Mouse ride in Disney World and now in Disneyland mm-hmm. is based on that new look. And mm-hmm. so the question becomes, you know, how long does that last if this look is not as popular? So I have to ask, I don't, if we've asked you this, I don't remember. What, Kaylee, did you think of the Eddie Murphy version of Haunted Mansion? Because I think this is where the challenge is hard, because that leaned towards the silly, not so much into the spooky. What are your thoughts on this movie?
Did we not talk about that in the episode?
But, I can't remember. Refresh. It's been a while.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It's a tricky question, because it's like, if I dissociate it from the ride, I can enjoy it. But knowing the lore and the mythos of the ride, it's really frustrating. You know, it's kind of like, it depends on which lens I'm watching it in. Like, I can really enjoy it, but also, like, I mean, Eddie Murphy's great. Like, it is, it's fun. But, like, knowing, you know, that's something I think the new one did a lot better with doing. But, it depends on the day.
It's funny you say that, because I saw the Eddie Murphy version before I had ever been to Walt Disney World.
Sure.
So, for me, the Haunted Mansion was just the Haunted Mansion. It was just a movie. I never picked up on Madame Leota or the theme song in the background of the original movie. Like for me, it just was a movie. And I'm on the record saying I enjoy the movie. I enjoy it. It's not going to win an Oscar by any means, but it's a fun movie. And Eddie Murphy's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of fun moments in that. But knowing what I know now about the mythos of the Haunted Mansion, I can look back at that and say, I don't know what Disney was thinking in terms of the way they crafted that, where mm-hmm. this newer movie, and we're going to get into it, you can tell, and it's why it's such a shame that it didn't do as well as it did.
Yeah.
You can tell that the creators really, really wanted to pay reverence to what the mythos of the ride and the attraction is.
Absolutely. And that's, I know on the Behind the Ride on Disney Plus, they have a really great episode about Haunted Mansion as well. That I think, you know, now that Disney Plus is in more homes and this, that, and the other, people are mm-hmm. learning the mythos as well, not just the ones who love Haunted Mansion and did their own deep dives, or, you know, did the backstage tour like I did. Because, you know... Oh, everyone can do that.
So new movie, let's dive into this new movie now. We've got new characters, definitely, like characters that do not appear in the ride, but it all, you know, centers around a haunted mansion and spooky ghosts that are in this haunted mansion. So just kind of like initial thoughts, like, let's throw it out. What are initial thoughts of the movie? The vibe I'm getting is that we all collectively enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely enjoyed the movie. I was excited when they announced it. Every time I saw a trailer and there was something new released, I thought that was exciting. I thought that they did a really good job of connecting the characters that we know, like Madame Leota, like the ghost host, like the hat box ghost, like the hitchhiking ghost, like the different ghosts that you see in the ride, like the fisherman. I mean, he plays a huge role in the movie. I think we'll get to all the special Easter eggs that are in there as well, but like I thoroughly enjoyed it. I do not think it's fair to compare it to the original at all. I think two very different things. I think two things can be true at once. The original was a good movie. This is a great movie, in my opinion. And I think they wanted to market it towards general audiences, but the people who truly appreciate this movie are the true Haunted Mansion fans because of the call outs. At least that's my opinion. Kaylee, what do you think?
I would definitely agree. I saw a advanced screening of it, which was like through AMC, so it wasn't mm-hmm. any strike breaking things, you know, but I really like how it tied in essentially both locations,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll get into that later, but like, I like that they were able to root it in New Orleans where it is, like yes. that's where it's rooted in California.
Mm-hmm.
I really cared about all the characters. And again, I also agree with two things can be true. I do like the original, but I definitely think this one is superior, mm-hmm. but they're both great. I will rewatch both of them. Of course,
there's technically three Haunted Mansion movies out there, well, if you think about it. I mean, the Muppets Haunted Mansion counts too.
Which is what we talked about last time.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to, I think maybe we are going to have to do a comparison of the three and rank them in order of 1, 2, 3.
Man, but the Muppets are so good. I mean, they really do anything.
We need the Muppets to do more of whatever. That's neither here nor there. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Yes, agreed.
But no, I think the bummer about this movie is that it was released during the strikes, and also it's not like spooky season yet. It was released for summer.
That makes no sense to me. Why they would not have released it? Like, give it a September 1 release date or September 15th release date. Mm-hmm. Let it run through the. I think they were big. Maybe this is an old Disney Plus mindset that when they pick the release date, because they pick these out years in advance or a year in advance. Maybe in their mind, they're like, oh, we'll have it ready to go on Disney Plus in time for Halloween. Why would you do that? Like, that's, people are going to want to go see a spooky movie when it's spooky season. Like, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, because it is going to hit Disney Plus pretty soon, actually.
I think it already has. I think it's,
has it, or, it, or, or, it was,
yeah,
hang on.
Yeah, I don't know the exact date, but I know
October,
it's soon.
4th. Okay. I just pulled it up, October 4th. So it will be there for spooky season on Disney Plus, but I think that's a bummer because it is so great on the big screen. Like,
I have some thoughts about why it struggled on the big screen I want to get to in a minute, but Matt, what about you? What did you think of it?
Oh, it's a very enjoyable movie. It captured the essence of how I felt when I went to go see the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, mm-hmm. which is, I'm just going to go and I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Because I know some background, I'm going to have a little bit of like, oh, that's fun. Yep. Oh, I love it. But
I did a lot of that. I did a lot of that when I was in the theater, right? I looked at Nate and go, that's that. That's from the, you know, I'd lean over to him and go, that's the thing from the, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So you'd have that. But I think the problem with in general with going to movies nowadays, and this happened when I went to go see Indiana Jones, you know, everyone was panning Indiana Jones, the fifth one, just, oh, this movie is horrible. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, what did you go into it expecting? If you went into it expecting this is going to be as good as Raiders of the Lost Ark, yeah, you probably thought it was not that good. If you just went in going, you know what, it's a Friday night, I'm going to the theater, I'm going to get a little popcorn, get a little soda, you know, have a nice little time at my theater and watch a fun movie on the big screen, it was probably really enjoyable. And so I think that people came into this movie with possibly some expectations that were just...
I have a couple theories.
I don't know.
I do.
They also advertise the living daylights out of this movie.
So here's where I'm at right now on this. I think number one, Kaylee, you said happened during the strike, so that didn't help, right? Yeah. There are some people who just have chosen not to go to the movies to support the strike, even though SAG-AFTRA said it's okay to go to the movies. That's fine, but I think that's part of it. I think the fact that they weren't really able to advertise for it like they would have normally, and mm-hmm. they ended up using cast members from the Haunted Mansions around the world, which I thought was like kind of a cool touch, but that was Disney's way of like getting out of the fact that
kind of skirting around it.
Yeah, like, come on. Okay, so I think that was part of it. We've talked heavily on this podcast about the political ramifications about what's going on with Disney right now, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a certain segment. I don't think it's a large segment, but it's a large enough segment that is boycotting anything Disney whatsoever. And they're usually the vocal minority, and you hear them screaming a lot in the comment section, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big part of it. I think anything Disney is going to struggle right now. If I'm not mistaken, I also think that kind of came out right around the same time as Iger's comments about the strike being very disturbing. Yeah, I think it was like there. Like,
literally
Iger
right
made
there.
Iger made the comment about, what they're demanding is disturbing or whatever he said.
Mm-hmm. Like, not great, Bob.
No, Bob. Like, come on, man. Like, come on,
everyone's
buddy.
So excited you came back and then you do this.
Yeah, like,
you know,
CEO of people here, dude. So that, I think, and then I also think, and I think this is a big part of it, I think that the Haunted Mansion, in a lot of ways, has never really had, and this is one of the things that's made the attraction as good as it is never really had a straightforward narrative enough that you can say this is what happens in the attraction. Like, you almost kind of make it what you want. And so to try and make a linear story out of that in Hollywood can be difficult. And they struggled with it in the first movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
They struggled. They did not struggle with the Muppets version, because I think the Muppets version kind of just, it was just meant to be preposterous. It was just meant to be kind of like funny. You kind of went in there very similar. You know, you were in it for the Muppets more than anything.
Right.
This one, you know, again, straightforward narrative. If it's not the narrative you have in your mind or what you want it to be, you might reject it. And so I think there's a certain demographic or certain segment of Haunted Mansion fans that, while they are Haunted Mansion fans, that's not my Haunted Mansion. I'm not going to go see it. Would you all agree with that?
Yes, and that's why I rolled my eyes so hard. Because
I
just
saw.
Like... you can hear. I don't know if you all can hear that on the pod. Yeah. But man, like, that was
like, I should put a bowling ball rolling down an alley and how loud those eyes rolled in the background there. Jeez.
Well,
Haley, please.
Like, yeah. I am clearly deep in the Haunted Mansion. I have read the books. I have literally been through, heard what they said at the ride, all of that. But I could still go into this and enjoy it. Like, yeah. I was like, okay. Like, I mean, okay, I went in, I was like, okay, it's based in New Orleans, whatever. But Orlando still got its moment with
it
this
got
building
its moment. Yeah.
And then I was like, this is great. Like, I went into it. I'm like, you've got the characters that you know and love. You know, it's okay. Like, it's not gonna be with the Muppets, you know. You go into it. The Muppets can't be as scary as what they did with Haunted Mansion, like the new one. They can't. No, it's the Muppets. No. You can't do it. So I mean,
well, that you know is going to be a parody, mm-hmm. like haha, like there's going to be some of that, like that's just a whole different genre. That would be like going and watching the Star Wars Family Guy and going, "What a horrible Star Wars movie this is!" It's like, you know, that's not why you're watching this.
You know,
I think the thing that frustrates the heck out of me about it is that because of the low box office, it somehow is deemed this failure by Disney. I don't think it's a failure of a movie by any means. I think you can never call something a cult classic when it's this early from release, but I think this is one of those movies that will probably, over time, people will grow to enjoy, just like the original. There's certain people out there who still enjoy the original and watch the original, you know, every Halloween, it becomes part of it. Every time Disney has one of these box office catastrophes, which I don't know what else to call it, box office mm-hmm. disappointments, it's deemed this failure on Disney's part as somehow part of a larger story that Disney's going down or something, right? And then investors get scared and the stock price goes down. Disney's got a lot of trouble going on right now. I get that, but I wish everybody would just, society would just take a collective break and sigh of relief, or just like take a sigh, a breath. Like, it's not the end of the world, you know. I don't know.
I mean, I don't hear people talking about the Jungle Cruise movie.
No,
you know, and that came out 2 years ago.
I can't remember how that did either. I gotta look.
I don't either. So like, probably not great if we're not thinking of it right now off the top of our heads. You know, it's because it's this kind of like. And I feel like the Haunted Mansion is almost an easier ride to take on for that, because I think that there is this kind of quote-unquote like cult following with it.
Jungle Cruise at least made back its budget, $220 okay. against the $200 million budget. where Haunted Mansion, not so much. Its budget was 150 to 160 million, and they only made 106. So, but even then, you can't call Jungle Cruise a smashing success by any means. Mm-hmm. It was 2021, though. It was still during the COVID pandemic, which right. was a thing. You can't really blame this on COVID, because, you know, even though COVID numbers are coming back, it's not this.
Right. But I was that, you know, the Jungle Cruise, if you haven't been to Disney, you don't really know or care what that is. If you haven't been to the parks, that's not anything. Mm-hmm. Haunted Mansion has its own world built outside of the parks because of this kind of cult,
yeah,
quote unquote, following it has. So I think that that's also why it's disappointing that it didn't do as great, because there is this big fan base that is pretty loud about being Haunted Mansion fan.
I really do think Disney thought that this was going to be bigger than what it was. I think all the announcements about the Hatbox Ghost at Walt Disney World, the announcements of this new shop they're building at Disneyland, this new extension of the gardens, all that stuff, I think was all planned and coincided to be synergy. You know, that's what Disney's mm-hmm. good at, right? And then the movie port, and this happens a lot with Disney. I mean, it does. They plan this movie to be this big thing, and they have all this other stuff planned. Yeah, you know, I'm just hoping that the world that is the Haunted Mansion is big enough to sustain the other changes they've made. You know, that they're going to make. Yeah, they've announced.
It should be. You know, I think it's challenging to create a movie based on a ride and hope that people latch onto it as heavily as they do on the ride. Because the ride is, I mean, I'm going to say a very shocking statement here. Get ready. A ride is different than a movie.
Oh, really? Oh, my God, Matt.
I know.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. What a hot take, man.
Did you not see this in like 4DX where they like the seats move and everything? Did you not see it that way?
Oh, my goodness, man. Like, you know, puffing smells and all this other stuff. But
well, it goes back to what I was saying, Matt. Like, the ride itself doesn't necessarily have a linear narrative. When you go into the ride, you know a little bit about Constance. You know, again, right now, the Walt Disney World ride doesn't even have the Hatbox Ghost. And the Walt Disney World one is completely different than the Disneyland one. There are elements that are the same, right? But they are different. And, like, you know, you look for different things. Like, the fisherman, I just use that as an example, plays a major part of the movie, yet plays a minimal part in the ride. Like, there's the picture, I think, of the fisherman, and if I'm not mistaken, there's the sailor who's blowing the water in the queue, right? I don't know if they're the same person or not. Maybe they are, I don't know, but clearly the inspiration there came from the picture in the ride, and they built this story around him, and it plays a major role, right? So, like, you go into the ride, Matt, to your point, and it's a different experience than going to a movie. In a movie, I know the whole point of the Doom Buggies is, you know, they move you to see what they want you to see, but there's still a lot going on that you can look around and take different elements in. In a movie, you've got the screen. That's it. You've got what they want you to see, and that's it. And they pick a narrative, and you're in your seats for 90 minutes, and then you're done.
Well, it's all very visual and sound, whereas the Haunted Mansion has a distinct smell. The Haunted Mansion had the air has a distinct feel. That sounds really dumb to say, but anyone who's been on the Haunted Mansion is like, heck yeah. Like, it just, it's the Pirates of the Caribbean water. Like, I think one of the things, because I always come back to pirates and I'm like, why was pirates so successful? And I think it's because people disassociated it with the ride.
Yeah, absolutely.
When that movie came out, yes, it was based on the ride, so to speak, but it also wasn't. And
the ride was very generic before the movie. It was just pirates. It was pirates and pillaging and stereotypical pirates. They built a very thematic world. I think that what you're trying to say, Matt, and correct me if I'm wrong, taking elements of what Kaylee said, the Haunted Mansion has already built its own internal world between the rides, and people have latched onto that over the course of the last several decades. With pirates, there was very little world building. It just was this simple little ride about generic pirates that, you know, a pirate's life for me, right? Then they built a much more complex narrative in the movies. And in that case, the movie became bigger than the ride, where here the ride is always going to be bigger than the movie, I think.
You're never going to dwarf the ride with a movie. It's just not going to happen.
No.
Even if you would have done a story that like went along the lines of like really specific of what the ride does, I'm just not seeing it.
Could they have? I don't know.
That's still what it matched because both rides tell different stories.
Tell different stories. And again, I don't know how much closer you can get to, like, there is no one cohesive story between in either of the rides singularly, let alone together. They got the story of Constance Hatchaway, right? They got the bride in there. They got the Hatbox Ghost in there. They got the hitchhiking ghost in there. They got the various paintings and stuff. They even have the garden attendant or the garden dude out there, right? And the dog, I don't know how much closer they could go to either of those two to tell a scene. Otherwise you get into a situation where the narrative, there's no conflict. Like, Haunted Mansion, there's not really conflict. I think the story of the Haunted Mansion is you go in and you could become one of those ghosts, which is what they told in the movie. They're trapped there, right? They need to basically add the 1,000th ghost, which is what they're saying.
I really liked how they used that as a plot point, that they are all trapped there because he needs to get his 1,000th ghost.
Exactly.
And I guess that was really smart. I really thought that that was a great way to approach it, because it's like, why are they all here? And why can't we leave? And why do we keep coming back? And this, that, and the other. And then
it was smart. It was meta.
Yeah. Well, and then the reveals of like, oh, well, this Madame Leota's hiding, essentially. And then it's like, okay, we have to call her back. And then it's like, I don't want to be here. Okay, let me help you. Like,
yeah.
It's when it's revealed that they're all scared. They're not like being scary to be scary. They're scared. So they're scary.
Yeah. Let's talk about performances for a minute. You know, obviously we had a star-studded cast here. Let's start with, you mentioned Madame Leota. How did you feel about Jamie Lee Curtis as Madame Leota?
I love her. I don't think she can do any wrong. The original Scream Queen, as a horror person, as she is an OG Scream Queen. I think it's perfect for her to be in this movie. So I really liked it. I thought that she was casted great for it.
I love that they gave her a little bit more depth too. It wasn't just the head in a ball. You know, you got a little bit about why was she in the ball, which I thought was really well done. I heard rumors that they kind of updated her look in The Rites to kind of match Jamie Lee Curtis's look in The Rites. Not that it's Jamie Lee Curtis's face. It's still the original actress, but I guess maybe her headdress is in there now or something. I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah. I haven't
heard anything directly from my contacts at Disney, but.
Well, I'm going to be at Disney World on Friday, so I'll ride the Haunted Mansion to report back for everybody, okay? And I'll be at Disneyland next month, and I'll report back there too.
Beers and Ears Cub reporter Casey Woolley,
your ghost host. Okay, so all right, let's talk Jared Leto as the Hatbox Ghost.
Jared Leto,
yeah,
that man just can shapeshift. Every role he's in, he looks so vastly different, but it's the same dude. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I do think this is, I think they nailed the casting. That's kind of where for me, I don't think there's anybody that was cast poorly.
I completely agree.
He's able to do the creepy and be creepy. Like, I'm like, okay, this is not even like, this is a PG-13 movie. And I'm still like,
there were several jump scares in there that got me. I don't know about you all, but I was like, whoa, where'd that come from?
I'm jumpy in general. So like, even like kids movies, things will get me. I'm like,
I thought the casting of, I loved Danny DeVito in there. Danny DeVito has that goth vibe already. I think that comes from his time as the Penguin in the Tim Burton Batman Returns. Mm-hmm. I just, in my mind, I still think of Danny DeVito there. I loved the twist with Owen Wilson not really being a preacher. I thought that was
so
just
good.
Brilliant. Like, did not see that coming at all. Like, oh, you're not really a preacher. You're just in a Halloween costume. Like, okay.
Oh, funny.
Yes. Like, you know, I thought that was great.
And I do want to talk about Lakeith, who played Ben, who was like our main guy.
Yeah,
I love him. Everything he's been in has been
he's
great.
From Hamilton, right?
No,
I thought he was from Hamilton for some
but
reason.
I mean, he was in Get Out.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thought he was in Hamilton for some
he
reason.
He was in Knives Out, he was in Uncut Gems. Like, I mean, he's been in all of the stuff.
Is he in that Sorry to Bother You?
Yes, he is.
The weirdest ending of a movie ever.
Yes. So, I mean, so he's just got like, I mean, so he's also got this like kind of spooky background anyways.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that bringing him into this role was fantastic. And his storyline is heartbreaking. And, you know, it's like the trope of kind of like, I'm going to be a ghost hunter, but then like, I'm just scamming you is it's a common trope.
Yeah.
But the way that they use it in this movie actually was rewarding in a way, because it was like, okay, no, he's actually like realizing that, oh, maybe if I actually did take this seriously, maybe we would have figured it out sooner versus me going,
I love
the money.
The story too, the backstory with his wife and all of the stuff that happened. I mean, the way that they intermingled his storyline and how it comes back later, and how it might be a reason why he wants to reconnect with her and everything. I just absolutely loved that. I felt the writing was really strong. Like the story and the screenplay, hugely strong. Kaylee, I have to ask you a question though. Yes. How giddy were you when you saw Winona Ryder?
I was thrilled. I was thrilled.
I think I squealed. Like, oh, like I was like, oh my God, like what a brilliant, and she was a cameo. It was completely uncredited. I don't know if you guys, she was not credited in it at all. To see her, like everyone, for those of you, I'm hoping everybody who is listening to this, both Glitter and Gore and Beers and Ears, Winona yes. Ryder, Beetlejuice, like, come on, like original horror gothic type movie from us in the, was it 90s, late early 90s or late 80s? Yep. Like, to see her in that role was, did you see the interview she gave about it?
No.
So she gave an interview about it. She didn't even know, like, what, she knew she was being invited onto the set, but she didn't know in what role she was being invited in or something like that. And she got there the day of, they gave her the script, and like, that's why she just has this very like drawn, like just very like monotone type vibe. But that's Winona Ryder for you, you know? Yeah. I just thought it was a brilliant casting choice to do that.
Absolutely. And then also, I mean, obviously she's a staple in Stranger Things. So if you've got the kids going to see Haunted Mansion who may not have dove into Beetlejuice yet, they're also like, oh, I know her from Stranger Things.
You I didn't even know that because I've never watched Stranger Things. So,
oh,
okay.
Now that hurts a little bit, but.
Yeah, I don't have Netflix. So it's just not really my thing. Not really a thing for me, but so, yeah.
No, it's all good. I have to give you a hard time. Again, this is Stranger Things is one of my top three. But really quick, I want to talk about the writer. So her other like writing credits, she only has 9 total right now, but she did the new Ghostbusters
which new Ghostbusters? Like the one that just came out or the other one with the women?
The one with the women.
Okay.
She did The Heat. She did like 31 episodes of Parks and Rec.
Okay.
And then she did a lot of writing for Mad TV.
See, that explains the comedy elements there. Like that explains why has been so successful at getting the comedy in there while also getting the just, again, I just think it was brilliantly woven through. The writer had a very tough time with this. You got to take the mythos of the Haunted Mansion. You got to interweave a new storyline at the same time. And it's got to be fun. And it's got to be Disneyed. Like that's the other, it's got to be mm-hmm. Disney. Like you can have a movie like this that's gory and scary and horror, but this is Disney. So you got to be able to do all that. That's why it frustrates me to no end that it just didn't do better than it did.
Really, now that with all those class, you know, they just did that Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Scary that movie.
Horror movie. Yeah.
Wild.
And now
it really is.
But then that company is also doing all of the other, like they're doing like, oh my gosh, what is it? It's Mary Had a Little Lamb. They're doing one with that. They're doing. Ugh. I'm like, why? Who was asking
for all the public domain things?
I think it's the fact that people weren't asking for it, but people will still go and watch it. Oh. That's people out of curiosity will go. It's the same reason why, what's it? The circus guy was able to sell the circus. It's the curiosity. People want to see
P.T. Barnum.
P.T. Barnum, you know, the people want to see. Yeah. Well, I've The Greatest Showman is absolutely one of my favorite. I absolutely love that movie. They're making a sequel here.
No, but the movie's fantastic. The actual story is not.
Well,
the
no, they whitewashed the whole story about about him and everything clearly. But the movie's we should do an episode, even though it's not Disney. I think it's Fox, but so therefore it's Disney.
I thought we did.
No, we've talked about it here and there, but we should do an episode on The Greatest.
I thought you did too.
No, we didn't. We should though. It's a good movie. But okay,
I think we're manifesting that for you. That we're already thinking it. You've done it, so you guys have to.
Well, it's Fox now, so it's technically within the Disney realm, and we've done The Wizard of Oz, so we've already broken that barrier. So why not?
Hey, but The Wizard of Oz was in The Great Movie Ride when that was still there. So that
and
was
it was also Disney. And Return to Oz was a Disney movie. So
see, boom.
Yes, that's why we were able to. And The Great Oz, The Great and Powerful was a Disney movie too. So that's
we do a lot of backflips on this one.
Yeah, we do. Oops. You know what? I think people come to listen to us for our charming personalities, regardless of what we're talking about. Right, hey, Matt.
They exactly. Our rapier wit.
Yes.
And, you know.
That's funny. Our banter, our clever puns, my ghost host voice.
Yeah, you know, this is why you tune in.
So this is all why right. you tune in. Anything else? Any other thoughts on Haunted Mansion, on story, on characters, on props, anything? I mean, from a glitter and gore perspective, Kaylee, I want to make sure that your stuff is covered too.
Oh no, I mean, there are jump scares in here that I was like not expecting the level of what they were. Like there was one time where I did jump and the girl next to me laughed and I was like, that's fair, because I was not expecting it.
There was one big one. I bet you it's the same one I had, because there's one big one like where it's just completely out of the blue. I do have to say, the clever use of the chair that looked like the doom buggy that escorted the couple of characters out of the building a couple of times. That was brilliant to do that, because it looked like a doom buggy. It was great.
Well, and one of the things that I really appreciated too is that they used grief as a element of the movie,
mm-hmm.
where with the son, where he just wants to see his dad, and then so that's how they're pulling on that heartstring to pull him inside back inside.
What,
so, you know.
Just a moment of not only tear jerking moment, but also a great twist in the movie. Like, you don't, that's the thing, is there were several twists and turns in this that you didn't see coming.
No, and that's what I, again, you have to go back to the writing, because it's so smart. Like, this movie was done in such a smart way, and that's mm-hmm. why, again, I will be screaming about it for forever, that I hope that people still watch it, even though it wasn't this, like, box office mm-hmm. success that it could have been. Had, again, there's a bunch of other factors to why it wasn't. But I also love a found family movie. You know, they're all in this house together, and it's essentially, for at least for the time of this movie, they are a found family, and they are getting through this craziness together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That they hide in enough of the ride with the, I loved the after midnight, don't go out of this room.
I was going to say, I loved the part. I loved how, I don't know what the right word here is, merciful maybe, or how like the ghost host that was or the hatbox ghost that was technically keeping them there also let them leave as long as they were back to be able to do what they had to do. Like that mm-hmm. was a really interesting dynamic. Like, they were technically able to leave the house, but these ghosts would come and follow them. The ghost mm-hmm. will follow you home to bring them back. So like, you could only really leave during the day, and then you had to come back at night, because like, it was a really it was something that you don't see you don't see that narrative in a lot of ghost movies and a lot of scary movies like that. It was definitely a different take on it, which I thought was good. I thought it was well done.
Absolutely. I do have beef though with the Orlando house being the bad guy's house. I saw it and I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
That's funny.
But that's just my own personal thing. But as soon as I was like, oh, but I was really glad that they were able to tie it in a way.
Yes.
That they were still paying homage to both of the houses. Like, I was like, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. I love this. But I was like, why? It doesn't have to be this guy's house. And I like that they worked together and they found the, like, I mean, it was smart. And that's what I feel like.
Yeah.
I think that's what the Eddie Murphy one was kind of missing. It wasn't as smart as this one.
Yeah. The Eddie Murphy one, there were just little moments that mm-hmm. tied to the ride. This was full. You could tell that they tried every twist and turn to build elements that had attribution to the attraction in every way. And I have got to say, the way that they masterfully laid in the Haunted Mansion theme into the attraction, I thought, or into the movie, was mm-hmm. awesome. The different ways, and that whole scene at the end, the swinging wake at the end, I thought was amazing. The mm-hmm. way they had the party at the end with all the ghosts, I thought they had to end it that way. Talk about awesome, right?
Yeah.
Matt, what do you think? Anything on your end?
I mean, you guys are calling it kind of all hitting on the stuff that you know. It's a really, really quality movie. A really, really quality movie. I agree with you. I'm interested to see what the streaming numbers for it'll be, because it does come out October 4th. I wonder if a lot of people who skipped it in the theaters will go, it's on Disney Plus now, I might as well throw it on, and then go, holy cow, this movie's actually really, really good.
In comparison to the Hocus Pocus 2 that we got last year, this is hands down 100% better.
Yeah.
We got Hocus Pocus 2 on Disney Plus last year, and I was excited about that. And there were okay elements about it, mm-hmm. but this is hands down a much better Halloween movie to watch this year than Hocus Pocus 2.
And it's like, I mean, I usually throw on, like, I would do, you know, House of Villains when that was on
that point. Yeah.
Like, that's like, you know, I would watch that while carving pumpkins, and then I would usually go to Haunted Mansion after, because I'm the only one who carves pumpkins in the house, so I'm carving like four pumpkins. So it's a day excursion, but, you know, so that's kind of where I'll probably do this one this year instead of that Murphy one, and just switch it up
of course,
a little bit.
And of course, the Muppets version, too. You got to put that one
It's so good.
That one's just a fun one to watch. I'm sorry. I watched that one a couple times last year. It was really good. So
the other one I got to watch again this year, Kayla, did you watch Marvel's Werewolf by Night?
I haven't. It's on my list for this year.
It's very good.
Okay, good.
It's very good. And don't watch the color version. Watch the black and white version.
Okay. Okay.
I think the color version is probably going to be fun, but I just like the feel of the black and white version is very nice.
The Wolfman is like my favorite classic.
He's your
Universal.
Dude. Did you hear that Epic Universe is going to have a classic monsters area, one of the four areas of Epic Universe?
And I'm very excited.
When you're ready to book a trip, you know where to find me. I book,
yes.
You know how to get a hold of me. So
yes, you know, that's, you know, the classic Universal Monsters is one of like my favorites because they are the classics, and that's
they are.
We had.
I'm happy they're leaning into it.
I am too.
Well,
they still have the Universal makeup show, I believe, at Universal Studios. I think that's. Still
I think
bad,
so.
Yeah, they've never gotten rid of that.
But that's right.
Kaylee. One of the things we do whenever we review a movie on this pod is we give it a scale on 1 to 10. 1 is the worst, 10 is the best. So I think it's good to end the episode. Where would we rate the Haunted Mansion, the new version, the 2023 version, on a scale of 1 to 10? Does anyone want to go first?
I'll start. I'm giving this movie a solid 8.
Okay.
I think this is an above average movie for the Walt Disney Company. And don't let the box office things fool you. I think this is an above average movie.
Where did you put the first one?
Oh, that's like a 4 for me.
And where did you put the Muppets one?
Oh, the Muppets are a 10 out of 10.
In your ranking, it goes Muppets 2023 and then the original.
I mean, yes, but realize I am 100% biased to the Muppets.
All right. Like, fair enough.
100%.
Kaylee, how about you?
I got to agree with you. I was going to say it's a solid 8. I think, you know, movies can always be better in my brain, but I, as someone who is such a loyalist to what I know of the Haunted Mansion, I could still went into it, thoroughly enjoyed it, will rave about it.
And what did you give the original?
I was also probably a 4.
All right, very good. And then the Muppets?
I have to go like a 9. I can't give it a 10.
All right, fair enough.
I can't do it. But I mean, but an actual like ranking, I probably would do the new one, Muppets,
and then the original.
OG. Okay. Yeah. But
all right. So for me, I give this a solid 9. I give this a solid 9. I'm a little bit higher than you guys on this one. I think because I absolutely loved all of the way that they were able to bring in the elements of the rides. The narrative, the writing, the acting, honestly, there's very little that I would change about this movie other than the release date, pushing it back by a month and a half or 2 months.
Oh yeah.
My original ranking on the original Haunted Mansion, I think, was higher and is higher. I probably give the original Haunted Mansion probably more like a 6. I liked the original, but again, I think it has a lot to do with when I saw it and not having those ties to the attraction. And in the Muppets Haunted Mansion, I think it was brilliant. I tie that with this one, 9 as well. I'd say in terms of ranking, Kaylee, I'm with you. It would go this one, Muppets, very close, and then the original. So I think we're all in agreement, at least there, that the original is the least favorite of the bunch. And then in terms of the rest, you know. But yeah, awesome, awesome, awesome. Anything else before we wrap up the show, y'all?
Nope. I just, again, if you haven't seen it, I recommend going to see it. And it's I see it as
or watching it on Disney Plus. Yeah,
watch it on big screen as you can.
I agree. Let's give it the due deference that it deserves. Absolutely, and it's still out there, by the way. So
you can still see it.
All right, now it's the time where we get to kind of tell everybody where they can find us. So, Kaylee, why don't you kick us off? How do people, if people want more of Kaylee Jensen, how do they do that?
If you want to find me specifics, my socials are all at Your Girl KAYJEN. And then the podcast is glitterandgore.podcast.
All right. All right. Very good. And then as far as we're concerned, Matt, if they want to get a hold of the podcast, how do they do that?
That is, you can email us beersandears1928@gmail.com or the Facebook group Beers and Ears Podcast. If you want to find me personally at Sorcerer Matt on Twitter, I'm going to continue to call it. That is where I'm most active. You can also subscribe to the Sorcerer Network YouTube channel if you enjoy board gaming.
And SorcererNetwork.com, too.
And SorcererNetwork.com. We're kind of revamping that a little bit, too. So I write a bunch for four different sites about sports. Listen, if you're in a sphere, you probably can find me doing some kind of content for it.
That's awesome. You got a fun new project coming down the pipeline you told me about last week. I won't spill the beans, but I'm very excited about it.
It's coming.
And as far as finding me, I mentioned y'all that I am a travel planner. I work with a authorized travel agency, Magical Memories by Casey with Main Street and More Travel. If you go to caseywooley.com, CaseyWooley.com, you can check out my website. It costs you nothing extra. So if you want to take a trip to Walt Disney World or Disneyland to see the Haunted Mansion in person, I can help you with that. And whether you book directly through Disney or you allow me to help you, you pay the same price. It costs exactly the same, and I can help you plan. And right now for Halloween, I am running a special, just announcing it. So now through Halloween, if you book your trip for any time between now and end of 2024, if your trip is $2,500 or more in covered expenses, you will get a $50 Disney gift card from me for booking your trip. It comes straight out of my commission. So I'm giving it to you as a way to say thank you for booking with me. Just make sure you mention that you heard this on the podcast. So so caseywooley.com for more information. Okay.
Amazing.
All right. Well, let's wrap our show. We always wrap our show by raising our glasses, Kaylee. I don't know how you wrap your show, but we raise our glasses, and we like to say that this episode has been on us, and we'll see you again real soon. And the ghost will follow you home.
And we say, keep it glittery and gory.
Yeah. And Matt, you always wind up saying,
bye, everyone.
Now I will raise the lap bar. Bye.